Aloha. Welcome to this special edition of Dolphinville Radio here in sunny and beautiful Hawaii, middle of the Pacific Ocean. We have a special show today celebrating the recent Venus transit on Monday night. I had the opportunity to share time and space with people gathering at Sky Island Ranch, and that was hosted by Joan Ocean and Jean-Luc Bozzole. We entertained over 70 people. It was the most amount of people I've seen in at the ranch space ever. And they were there gathering because we all sensed that this was a special time and a special space that we could occupy together. And in gathering our strengths and energy together, we could possibly send out a thought bubble, a prayer bubble, or an intention bubble from this Big Island pulse point at 19.5 degrees. We had Joseph Mina and Nassim Haramein there to share in their knowledge, give us some of the astrological and astronomical implications of what was going on with this particular phenomenon in the sky, a rare, rare event that happens every 22 years, but a complete circuit every 243 years. And we know that a lot of the information that has been sent out on this particular phenomenon has led us to some amazing conclusions. Some of those will be shared in this recording of that event with Joseph and Nassim. Joan Ocean, of course, will be adding some of her wonderful commentary. I apologize for the quality of the recording. There was many more people there than I anticipated. It didn't enable me to get too close to the speakers, but I believe if you do adjust your speakers, you should be able to hear what they're saying. Joan is speaking over a microphone, so there's an added electronic kind of challenge with that. But nonetheless, the messages that they are conveying are very real and very rich in texture and meaning. So I enjoy being there, and the energy of the last few days, and even today, this Wednesday, carrying over, it still is quite remarkable, and the sensations that are being experienced, and what the dolphins and the oceans have been providing for us with this amazing, amazing thing. Reminder to everybody that this program is being brought to you by Photon.net, a broadcast server and internet service provider, and somebody who has been working with Dolphinville since its inception 2 years ago, and with me personally and my websites, putting up on the internet through the courtesy of Randy Barris and the kind people there. So I invite you to sit back, enjoy this programming, and I'll be stepping back from time to time to bring you back in to reality. We'll take this for about the next 60 minutes and listen to the proceedings as they were live recorded. And when Joan starts the meditation, I'll be back with you and wrap up this experience from my perspective. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you soon.
So I'm so happy that we're going through this experience together, all of us together, and to be with ancient Lemuria and the dolphins, and to remember as we activate our DNA to new levels of awareness. So tonight, Nassim and Joseph Mina have been so kind as to offer to share some of their knowledge about this important day. And so we'll listen to their presentations.
Thank you. Aloha, can everyone hear me?
Yeah.
A lot of Venusians here. What a special day. What a special eight-year cycle is opening today. In fact, people west of here, not too far west of Hawaii, that started in the Midway Islands, are now able to see Venus moving across the face of the sun. And it's symbolic for a lot of reasons, and we're going to touch on some of those reasons tonight, and I assure you we will not touch on all the reasons because there's just so much there, but hopefully we'll move on part of the essence of what's going on. I practice astrology, I practice the Voyager Tarot, I practice energy work, body work. They're all related to me because what I see outside of myself in the night sky is a mirror image of what is going on inside of me. So the shamanic verses, as above, so below. So when an eclipse occurs, it's inviting a shadow. The most dramatic shadow is when the moon eclipses the sun. And that shadow is imparted on a very large part of the earth. In Venus's case, it's a tiny dot moving across the face of the sun. And it's important not to get lost in size parameters here because it's metaphorical. Venus symbolizes beauty. The archetype of Venus is all about beauty. And when Venus moves in front of the sun, which does not happen very often, there's nobody on the planet today who has seen this in this current lifetime. The last time was in 1882, 121 and a half years ago. And here we are again, 121 and a half years later. The shadow aspect of an eclipse helps us all to go inward and to find something within ourselves that has at some point in our existence been lost. And it doesn't have to be dramatic. It does have to be heartfelt. Because Venus, dealing with beauty, goes into our heart rhythms and opens up the essence of why we are here, what we are here to share and to create with others. So, this is a map of the entire Earth, as you can see. Here we are in Hawaii, right here. And you can see we're right on the edge of this line here, with the number one next to the line. That is referred to as first contact line. And that is actually where Venus starts to touch the surface of the sun from a visual perspective. That is from Earth's perspective. So first contact is the initiation point. And amazingly, it happened at 7:15 tonight, about 20, 25 minutes ago, just after the sun set here. Now you can notice here on the map that when you go up and down this map, there is no major population center on this longitudinal line except for Hawaii. So Hawaii is quite significant because we are beginning the process. If this line were a little bit to the east here, we would see first and second contact. So given that it's an eclipse and given that it's shadow energy, we are beginning a cycle here in Hawaii that will culminate here, right over the United Arab Emirates and Oman, where the sun will be at the zenith at noontime, and Venus will be at the midpoint of its transit across the face of the sun. And then it will conclude itself somewhere here in the Midwestern United States. We'll see a number three here and then a number four. The number three signifies third contact, which is where the Venus, as it transits across the face of the sun, touches the other limb of the touches the sun's limb. And then fourth contact, when Venus fully moves off of the sun and the eclipse is over. And that entire cycle is for 6 hours, starting now. So I'd like everybody to take a deep breath. This map, not in color. I guess we're halfway to add color over the next 8 years. It symbolizes 2012. The Venus cycle is extraordinary because it cycles itself in an 8-year segment. 121 and a half years passes, and then 8 years later it happens again. Then 105 years passes, it happens again. And then an 8-year cycle, and it happens again, and we go all the way back to the beginning, 121 and a half years. So in 2012, the transit, you can see where Hawaii is right here. You can see the number four line right over the Hawaiian Islands. And what that means is that in 2012, and I believe it's June the 6th, at sunset here, the Venus transit will end. So here we go. We started in 2004 at the beginning of the Venus cycle. 8 years later, we are at the end point of the Venus cycle. So
where
it's been amazing.
Doorway?
We are the doorway. We open the door and we close the door here.
So when we found this, we thought it was really significant. You know, our relationship to the cycle and how, you know, the Hawaiian Island and then the relationship of the Hawaiian Island to Captain Cook and the Venus cycle.
Yeah, 1769 was the last, 243 years ago from 2012. 243 years ago, there was a Venus transit. Cook left England, sailed to Tahiti, specifically to see it, because by then the telescope had been developed, and scientists were on to the fact that there was a Venus cycle happening.
Kepler was trying to get his confirmation of his concepts of the orbitals of the planetary systems, and this was a big expedition for Captain Cook to actually go and see the transit in the middle of the Pacific. So, you know, very historic, very powerful. And then we see that cycle, you know, again with the earlier transit, you know, that is tonight, with the Hawaiian Island again at a very crucial point, you know, for opening the door and then closing the door in 2012.
Let me talk briefly about Captain Cook. 1769, he sees the Venus transit in Tahiti. Shortly thereafter, he sails his ship west, goes to New Zealand to map New Zealand, and engages in several battles with the Maori there.
That figure.
Leaves New Zealand, sails for Australia, heads up towards Queensland, where his boat gets caught on the Barrier Reef and gets gashed with a huge hole. He's forced to go ashore there. It's where the settlement of Cookstown takes place. They make temporary repairs to the ship, and then he sails to Jakarta, Indonesia, to have more permanent repairs, where a good number of his crew dies because they contract malaria. So there's an energy that's building here. And about 8 years later, he decides that he wants to find a Northwest Passage across North America to shorten the ship distance. He sails again around South Africa, heads to Tahiti, and from Tahiti, he sails to Alaska, not realizing that he's going to encounter Hawaii. Sails into Waimea, Kauai, and from there, spends maybe a couple months and heads off to Alaska. On his return from Alaska, he has to turn around because it's all ice. He comes back to Hawaii, and lo and behold, he sails into Kealakekua Bay. He sails with ships, two ships he had. I believe they were Endeavor and...
Resolution.
Resolution. Thanks, Doug.
Resolution.
Resolution. Interesting term, resolution. He sails into Kealakekua Bay, and he has large white sails on these ships. At the same time, the Hawaiian people are celebrating the Feast of Lono. Lono is the nature god of the Hawaiian Islands. It brings all the food, all the sustenance. And when they see the large white sails come in, which matches their own white banners, they believe that Lono has arrived in Kealakekua Bay, the doorway to the gods. 1 year later, Cook dies in Kealakekua Bay. So appreciate that 243 years ago, the cycle has begun, and it culminates itself in 2012. 243 is a very interesting number for Venus. It takes Venus makes one rotation in 243 days. It takes the Earth 24 hours for one rotation. It takes Venus 243 days, and when it rotates in an opposite fashion. That is, the sun appears to rise in the west and set in the east. In that rotation. No other planet in our solar system does this. And in that 243 days, Venus is slowly turning its face to everyone. Slowly. when we match it to a 243-year cycle, we find that there's a great deal of symbology in the paradox of Venus rotating in reverse order. To me, this whole cycle is paradoxical.
Okay, well, talking about cycles, I just wanted to, you know, like people say, well, how come this only happens like 120 years or whatever? And, you know, because Venus is going around the sun and the Earth is going around the sun, so it should happen more often. Well, that's because the plane of the equator of these planets are not...
Aloha! Welcome to this special edition of Dolphinville Radio here in sunny and beautiful Hawaii, middle of the Pacific Ocean. We have a special show today celebrating the recent Venus transit on Monday night. I had the opportunity to share time and space with people gathering at Sky Island Ranch, and that was hosted by Joan Ocean and Jean-Luc Bozzole. We entertained over 70 people. It was the most amount of people I've seen in at the ranch space ever. And they were there gathering because we all sensed that this was a special time and a special space that we could occupy together. And in gathering our strengths and energy together, we could possibly send out a thought bubble, a prayer bubble, or an intention bubble from this Big Island pulse point at 19.5 degrees. We had Joseph Mina and Nassim Haramine there to share in their knowledge, give us some of the astrological and astronomical implications of what was going on with this particular phenomenon in the sky, a rare, rare event that happens every 22 years, but a complete circuit every 243 years. And we know that a lot of the information that has been sent out on this particular phenomenon has led us to some amazing conclusions. Some of those will be shared in this recording of that event with Joseph and Nassim. Joan Ocean, of course, will be adding some of her wonderful commentary. I apologize for the quality of the recording. There was many more people there than I anticipated. It didn't enable me to get too close to the speakers, but I believe if you do adjust your speakers, you should be able to hear what they're saying. Joan is speaking over a microphone, so there's an added electronic kind of challenge with that. But nonetheless, the messages that they are conveying are very real and very rich in texture and meaning. So I enjoy being there, and the energy of the last few days, and even today, this Wednesday, carrying over, it still is quite remarkable, and the sensations that are being experienced, and what the dolphins and the oceans have been providing for us with this amazing, amazing thing. Reminder to everybody that this program is being brought to you by Photon.net, a broadcast server and internet service provider, and somebody who has been working with Dolphinville since its inception 2 years ago, and with me personally and my websites, putting up on the internet through the courtesy of Randy Barris and the kind people there. So I invite you to sit back, enjoy this programming, and I'll be stepping back from time to time to bring you back in to reality. We'll take this for about the next 60 minutes, and listen to the proceedings as they were live recorded. And when Joan starts the meditation, I'll be back with you and wrap up this experience from my perspective. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you soon.
So I'm so happy that we're going through this experience together. All of us together, and to be with ancient Lemuria and the dolphins, and to remember as we activate our DNA to new levels of awareness. So tonight, Nassim and Joseph Mina have been so kind as to offer to share some of their knowledge about this important day. And so we'll listen to their presentations.
Thank you. Aloha, can everyone hear me?
Yeah.
A lot of emotions here. What a special day. What a special 8-year cycle is opening today. In fact, people west of here, not too far west of Hawaii, that started in the Midway Islands, are now able to see Venus moving across the face of the sun. And it's symbolic for a lot of reasons, and we're going to touch on some of those reasons tonight, and I assure you we will not touch on all the reasons, because there's just so much there. But hopefully we'll move apart to the essence of what's going on. I practice astrology, I practice the Voyager Tarot. I practice energy work, body work. They're all related to me because what I see outside of myself in the night sky is a mirror image of what is going on inside of me. So the shamanic verses, as above, so below. So when an eclipse occurs, it's inviting a shadow. The most dramatic shadow is when the moon eclipses the sun. And that shadow is imparted on a very large part of the earth. In Venus's case, it's a tiny dot moving across the face of the sun. And it's important not to get lost in size parameters here because it's metaphorical. Venus symbolizes beauty. The archetype of Venus is all about beauty. And when Venus moves in front of the sun, which does not happen very often, there's nobody on the planet today who has seen this in this current lifetime. The last time was in 1882, 121 and a half years ago. And here we are again, 121 and a half years later. The shadow aspect of an eclipse helps us all to go inward and to find something within ourselves that has at some point in our existence been lost. And it doesn't have to be dramatic. It does have to be heartfelt. Because Venus, dealing with beauty, goes into our heart rhythms and opens up the essence of why we are here, what we are here to share and to create with others. So, this is a map of the entire Earth, as you can see. Here we are in Hawaii, right here. And you can see we're right on the edge of this line here, with the number one next to the line. That is referred to as first contact line. And that is actually where Venus starts to touch the surface of the sun from a visual perspective. That is from Earth's perspective. So first contact is the initiation point. And amazingly, it happened at 7:15 tonight, about 20, 25 minutes ago, just after the sun set here. Now, you can notice here on the map that when you go up and down this map, there is no major population center on this longitudinal line except for Hawaii. So Hawaii is quite significant because we are beginning the process. If this line were a little bit to the east here, we would see first and second contact. So given that it's an eclipse and given that it's shadow energy, we are beginning a cycle here in Hawaii that will culminate here, right over the United Arab Emirates and Oman, where the sun will be at the zenith at noontime, and Venus will be at the midpoint of its transit across the face of the Sun. And then it will conclude itself somewhere here in the Midwestern United States. We'll see a number 3 here and then a number 4. The number 3 signifies third contact, which is where the Venus, as it transits across the face of the Sun, touches the other limb of the, touches the Sun's limb. And then fourth contact, when Venus fully moves off of the Sun and the eclipse is over. And that entire cycle is for 6 hours, starting now. So I'd like everybody to take a deep breath. This map, not in color, I guess we're going to add color over the next 8 years. It symbolizes 2012. The Venus cycle is extraordinary because it cycles itself in an 8-year segment. 121 and a half years passes, and then 8 years later it happens again. Then 105 years passes, it happens again. And then an 8-year cycle, and it happens again, and we go all the way back to the beginning, 121 and a half years. So in 2012, the transit, you can see where Hawaii is right here. You can see the number 4 line right over the Hawaiian Islands. And what that means is that in 2012, and I believe it's June the 4th, June the 6th, at sunset here, the Venus transit will end. So here we go. We started in 2004 at the beginning of the Venus cycle. 8 years later, we are at the end point of the Venus cycle. So it's been amazing. We are the doorway. We open the door and we close the door here.
So when we found this, we thought it was really significant. You know, our relationship to the cycle and how, you know, the Hawaiian Island and then the relationship of the Hawaiian Island to Captain Cook and the Venus cycle.
Yeah, 1769 was the last, 243 years ago from 2012. 243 years ago, there was a Venus transit. Cook left England, sailed to Tahiti, specifically to see it, because by then the telescope had been developed, and scientists were on to the fact that there was a Venus cycle happening.
Kepler was trying to get his confirmation of his concepts of the orbitals of the planetary systems. And this was a big expedition for Captain Cook to actually go and see the transit in the middle of the Pacific. So, you know, very historic, very powerful. And then we see that cycle, you know, again with the earlier transit, you know, that is tonight, with the Hawaiian Island again at a very crucial point, you know, for opening the door and then closing the door in 2012.
Let me talk briefly about Captain Cook. 1769, he sees the Venus transit in Tahiti. Shortly thereafter, he sails his ship west, goes to New Zealand to map New Zealand, and engages in several battles with the Maori there.
I figured.
Leaves New Zealand, sails for Australia, heads up towards Queensland, where his boat gets caught on the Barrier Reef and gets gashed with a huge hole. He's forced to go ashore there. It's where the settlement of Cookstown takes place. They make temporary repairs to the ship, and then he sails to Jakarta, Indonesia, to have more permanent repairs, where a good number of his crew dies because they contract malaria. So there's an energy that's building here. And about 8 years later, he decides that he wants to find a Northwest Passage across North America to shorten the ship distance. He sails again around South Africa, heads to Tahiti, and from Tahiti, he sails to Alaska, not realizing that he's going to encounter Hawaii. Sails into Waimea, Kauai, and from there, spends maybe a couple months and heads off to Alaska. On his return from Alaska, he has to turn around because it's all ice. He comes back to Hawaii, and lo and behold, he sails into Kealakekua Bay. He sails with ships, two ships he had. I believe they were Endeavor and...
Resolution.
Resolution. Thanks, buddy.
Resolution.
Resolution. Interesting term, resolution. He sails into Kealakekua Bay, and he has large white sails on these ships. At the same time, the Hawaiian people are celebrating the Feast of Lono. Lono is their nature, is the nature god of the Hawaiian Islands. It brings all the food, all the sustenance. And when they see the large white sails come in, which matches their own white banners, they believe that Lono has arrived in Kealakekua Bay, the doorway to the gods. 1 year later, Cook dies in Kealakekua Bay. So appreciate that 243 years ago, the cycle has begun, and it culminates itself in 2012. 243 is a very interesting number for Venus. It takes Venus makes one rotation in 243 days. It takes the Earth 24 hours for one rotation. It takes Venus 243 days. And when it rotates in an opposite fashion. That is, the sun appears to rise in the west and set in the east in that rotation. No other planet in our solar system does this. And in that 243 days, Venus is slowly turning its face to everyone, slowly. When we match it to a 243-year cycle, we find that there's a great deal of symbology in the paradox of Venus rotating in reverse order. To me, this whole cycle is paradoxical.
Okay, well, talking about cycles, I just wanted to, you know, like people say, well, how come this only happens like 120 years or whatever? And, you know, because Venus is going around the sun and the Earth is going around the sun, so it should happen more often. Well, that's because the plane of the equator of these planets are not exact. So let me show you. So now, here is tonight, exactly now, at this moment, this is our solar system. You can see there's a few comets that are still in our solar system that went through our solar system in the last month. And we're going to move forward now. Okay? Let me bring this little window here. Okay, we're going to move forward in time, and we're going to go, let's see, by...
Hello. Click on the triangle. Don't you just love technology?
Sorry. There we go. We're going to go by day, let's see, by month.
Lunar months.
Lunar months. And we're going to go forward in time. Whoa. That was a little too fast. Even for me. And we're going to see that actually, I'm going month by month, you're going to see that Venus, so on around, is this, so, let's see. I want to go by days now. Yeah. We're going to see that Venus is crossing the path of the Earth. Right? You will see it cross the path of the Earth. Here.
Catching up.
Catching up. Here it comes.
There.
Boom. Okay. So now we're in 2000. Let me see. I don't know. 2007. Okay. So here you would say, well, then there should be a conjunction in 2000. There should be a transit in 2007. But what happens is that it's very rare that Venus and Earth are on the same plane. So let's see. See, when we look at it, you see now Venus is below the Earth. So actually, the Earth will not be eclipsed by Venus. The Sun will not be eclipsed by Venus, viewed from the Earth, because the Earth, Venus is below. So it measures by below, by above, by below, by above, and then once, you know, in a blue Venus, it's bang on, and this is one of those nights. Okay, so that's just to clarify why is this not happening so common. Okay, you can continue. Sorry, it took me so long.
So, a Venus cycle takes place over a year and a half period. And what I mean by a Venus cycle is that it starts by rising in the east. They call that the helical rise, because it's rising just before the sun. We have the plate, which is the rising in the morning.
From starry night?
Yeah.
Okay. Get that. So
this is where we're starting in the process here.
So here is illegal rise in 2006 when Venus just misses. You see? It's a little too high.
So here's Venus here in the map. Sun is just coming up on the horizon. The symbolic nature of anything rising in the east is that it's a beginning. Everything in the east signifies a beginning. And in this case, when Venus rises in the east, Venus will sit in the eastern sky for about 260 days. And during that 268-day period, the crescent moon is going to interact with Venus. They will intersect 7 or 8 times in that 260 days. The moon is waning, as you can see right here. Here's the moon. And here's Venus. They create this dance over 260 days where there's 7 interactions. And when you think of the 7 chakras, sometimes there's 8, even our 8th chakra, there's a symbolic nature. When I said earlier, as above, so below, when we look at the night sky, we're not seeing the sky as it is in this now moment. Rather, we're seeing a time-lapsed photograph of many images. Venus is about 3 light minutes away. The sun is about 8 light minutes away. The moon is about 1.5 second light seconds away. Stars are 50, 100 light years away. So all that light is coming to us at the same time, yet from different points in time. So because we cannot see the sky as it is in this now moment, the only place where we can experience the now moment is inside of ourselves. And that's the only place where we can know the universe as it is right now, is inside of ourselves in this now moment. So everything else is time lapse.
What's the green? What are we looking at?
That's the horizon of the Earth.
This is the Earth.
And I just moved to another time. What I wanted to show you is this, talking about the now moment. This is the transit as viewed from Baghdad, okay? Because Baghdad is pretty well where the azimuth of the transit is going to happen. That means they're going to get nailed with the most energy at noon. At noon, the transit will be at its maximum overhead, right? They'll just get the maximum energy from it. And you can see that, there we go.
Going the other way.
Going the other way. So here's a transit.
Here we go.
Going backwards. There we go. So the alignment, what makes the frame rotate is because when the computer goes to noon, you're looking straight up at the sun with Venus in the middle, and the Earth is rotating. So it makes the whole frame rotate. But Venus is going across the sun directly. Right? So, this is what it should look like. And there's actually, when you go back home tonight, there's websites that are going to show it in real time on the web. So that's kind of neat.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to get to that.
Yeah.
Just as an aside, too, concerning the webcast, I send out a monthly update, and in the monthly update there's a link. There's a link that will take you to the webcast, and you'll be able to see it as it was experienced earlier today, tonight, as well as Third and Fourth Contact. Third and Fourth Contact takes place at about 1:15 in the morning, Hawaii time, for those of you who are ambitious and want to stay up. Nassim mentioned about the potency of the noon time placement over the Middle East. I might add that in 2012, first contact happens in Hawaii when the sun is directly overhead at noontime. The sun will be directly overhead when the Venus transit begins in 2012. And again, 6 hours later, it's ending at sunset. So this is definitely the place to be in 2012. Reserve your seat.
All you guys that are traveling, you're stuck here now.
Joan's going to be taking reservations.
We're adding an extension.
The beauty of the helical rise is that Venus sits in the morning sky 260 days, moves down back to the eastern horizon. What happens, it goes behind the sun in its orbit, disappears from view for about 50 or 60 days, and then all of a sudden appears in the west for 260 days. And interacts with the waxing crescent moon for 7 or 8 times before heading back down into the western horizon, as it's done now, traveling across the sun's face, inferior conjunction in its orbit, and starts up again in the east about a week or so later. And it goes on and on, that cycle, over and over and over again.
Okay.
Five of these cycles. Let's run this. This is really an amazing thing.
Okay, so this is... lock the sun in. Let's see. Let's run like that.
This looks like something from an Etch-a-Sketch.
Okay. This is the path. See, a lot of people have been talking about the path of Venus makes a 5-pentagram star in the sky, right? Well, that is true only in relationship to the Earth. That means viewed from the Earth, that's what it appears to do. Okay? Not in the solar system. It's not doing that in the solar system. That's the difference between astrology and astronomy. Both are valid, right? Astrology deals with what you're experiencing, which is viewed from Earth, unless you're in a spaceship in the solar system. And you know, astronomy deals with how the mechanics of all this is happening. Now, that's a whole other story. But the discrepancy there is there, too. But... if we look at this,
take it into the lunar month.
Whoa, that was a little too much torque on that. Okay,
you have to select Venus for the city. Select Venus.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna go to the. Okay, and Venus. You know, we threw this at the last minute together, so we
have to lock in the here. No, okay,
it's fine. Okay, so here, this is okay. This is the motion that Venus takes around the Earth, viewed from the Earth. And you can see now that this path here is the path of the sun. And the inner path, that's the inner Venus path. And this is the other Venus path. And now you can see the path as it goes through, you know, it cycles over years. You know, now we're in 2090 years. So these are the mechanics. And so you can imagine, you know, the complexity of the solar system the way it was when they thought the Earth was at the center of it. It got really, really complex. And then they realized the sun was in the middle, and then it got really simplified. But this is still valid because this is what we experience from Earth. So we wanted to make that clear and show you the patterns that that generates, the mechanics of this generation.
Quite beautiful.
So now we can do that as well with Venus moving now by year. So now if we look at that, at Venus moving by year.
I might add that this happens energetically inside of ourselves at the same time that it's happening out there. Visual.
So this is much faster. So because it's much faster, now you're actually seeing the star being generated over the sun structure, viewed from Earth. And the complexity, the mechanics, the power of the mechanics of the clockwork of nature is outrageous. It's outrageous. And that is, you know, what we live in. We're so commonly not conscious of that. And, you know, when these events happen, then we realize how complex that is and so on. But in general, we forget about this. And actually, the paper I'm publishing tonight, I mean, literally in Europe right now, you know, physicists are getting my paper and go, oh, yeah. That paper is, thank you so much. That is the result of 20 years of research and actually explains where is all the energy coming from to make everything spin. It adds a torque turn to Einstein field equation and solves it in a new way that generates a unification theory. And so I'm really excited to plug that in right at this time at the transit to open the door with that. So if you can put that in the meditation tonight, we got to get the physicists in Europe to open their mind because it's coming at them tonight.
Every year and a half, Venus is creating one point in that five star, that five pentagram. Every year and a half, so over 8 years, one pentagram is created. And it begins its cycle again.
Yeah, so here it is.
It begins its cycle again. You can see the pentagram here. When the second pentagram begins, it begins almost at the same point that the last pentagram began, except it's rotated just a little bit to the left, about 2 degrees. And so over a 1,300-year period, is an amazing
mandala
that's forming.
How many years?
This one is up to 2255. So this is like this is about 200 and some years.
Now, because I'm a stickler about celestial mechanics, I want to add, so that you have the correct, you know, visualization of this, that the sun is moving through space at thousands of miles per second. So actually, the planets are not coming back to the same spot on the same equatorial plane. It's like a huge spiral of structures through space. And so it's not quite like this. And that would be like all squashed if the sun stops moving, right? But the sun is moving through space at a very high rate. So this is an idealistic view as well.
Truly, a wonderful spiral. As the entire solar system rockets through this galaxy. The sun is traveling at about
500,000 miles an hour.
What?
So over the course of 24 hours, it's moved 12 million miles through the galaxy.
That's right.
And even at that enormous rate of speed, it's still going to take about 240 million years to go around the galaxy just one time.
Yeah, that's one day for the galactic being. So, when you're having a bad day, don't worry about it. Just a second. Relative to the galaxy.
Chill out.
So here is the transit viewed for different epochs, you see. Here we see why we missed in 1996. This is today, right now, 2012, and then 2020 closes again with a transit that misses. So these two are like the doorway. And relative to the Mayan tradition, that's very, very crucial. Venus was the main planetary body that the Mayans, concentrated on, and the cycle of Venus was crucial to their understanding of mechanics, of celestial mechanics, which are more precise than all of our current, computer models. The Mayan calendar is more accurate than our current computer models, and that's not a statement I'm making. This is a statement that was made by a physicist, astronomist, that it's engraved on a plate at the Kep Observatory in Arizona. Mayan calendar is more accurate than any of our devices. Those guys knew what they were doing. And so here is the transit, the retrograde of Venus relative to the Sun. So you see, when it does that loop where it makes a star, that's what we call retrograde. You can talk on that more.
When a child is born, the child comes into this plane fully aware, all its gifts and its highest vibration. Children see auras, they see colors, and they feel vibration. Their bodies are more water than what we hold as adults. And there's a symbolic process that takes place where a child starts to give back the gifts, loses the gifts as they go through life's challenges. And much in the way of the Venus cycle, when Venus rises in the east, there's a symbolic nature of Venus giving away its gifts to each of the crescent moons.
Okay.
And then goes into the shadow behind the sun and comes out into the western sky and starts to reclaim the gifts again. And much like in our healing path, we're literally reclaiming our gifts as we heal. And we are increasing our vibration and we're becoming more attuned, more sensitive, more aware. As spiritual beings, we have all of this. Our bodies, though, are made up of the substance of the earth, and it's up to us in our healing path to raise the vibration of our bodies so that it can function in this plane in a much more energetic way than we have seen in the past. So as we go through this Venus transit and we go into the retrograde cycles of Venus, especially over the next 8 years, to me, symbolically, is an opportunity to do some pretty profound levels of healing. Two children came to me today for some bodywork sessions, and I was just amazed that the boy was born in 1996, a symbolic year for this transit because he has Venus in the sign of Gemini in his chart, which is very symbolic for this Venus transit, and he was very antsy the last couple of days. Three contacts into the session, he was gone. His body just shut down his whole thinking process, and he went into a very deep rhythm. And came out of it feeling a lot lighter. Children are hardwired for this. Children that are being born today are much like this computer system. They're very fast. They're energetically attuned. They know how to plug into energy. They really need to be fed energetically. Children ought to be receiving a lot of body work, especially over the next 8 years.
The children are going a little crazy today because most of the planet doesn't get that. They don't recognize the children really need to be fed.
Yeah, they give them Prozac instead.
They give them Prozac to shut down their intuitiveness and their sensitivity, not realizing that children are like saying, something's got to change in this environment because it's not nurturing. And Venus is all about nurturing.
So this is right now, the alignment. This is right now, viewed from space, a little far from the Earth. The relationship of the Earth and Venus is almost straight on. And so we're in the middle of it now. So I think that's it.
I want to end with a Voyager card here. In the Voyager deck, the Hierophant is the number 5. It's like the pentagram. And above the Buddha statue on this card is a crescent, and the crescent is of Venus. And Venus ties into the Taurus mysteries, and Venus is about beauty. And the Hierophant has risen above life's density. And that's probably the theme for the next 5 to 8 years, is rising above the density. So I'm going to pick one card as a closing card for this process. And it's the 6 of Crystals, which is the card of confusion. Con being the preposition for, or the
prefix.
Thank you. I know it was a P. The prefix for with. This is with fusion. When things seem confusing to us, it's not because the universe is confused. The universe is not confused. The universe is on purpose. The universe knows what it's doing. But it's our brain's understanding of universal principles that can make things seem confusing.
Isn't that con against, though? Because there's a con that's with and there's a con that's against.
Well, this is con with. This is with fusion. And 6s are the Lover's card. And the 6s are a Gemini card. It's where the lovers come together and resolve their separation. So it seems like a wonderful opportunity for us to surrender to the confusion of it all and just stay wide open to possibilities. Thank you very much. Rebecca's going to read a poem relative to this Venus transit, and then Joan will go from there.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. I would like to recite a poem that I wrote. It's from our work, which is called The Pillow Book of Venus and Her Lover, Reinventing the Myth. In our book, we put out the idea that the myths that we've been told are a bit outdated, and we need to reinvent them, each one of us, for new paradigm relationships and the wholeness that we can experience. So, this is called, and usually we present them with art and poetry, but tonight we're just going to be brief, and I'm going to recite my poem. This is called Rebirth of Venus. With the turning of the wheel of ages, a comet passes, stirring the ashes, where once there stood a temple for the pilgrims of the heart. Ashes of our ancestral titans, whose bodies ache to hold a woman, and taste sweet sap in priestess grove, where they learned of love as art. Planets quiver in their celestial dome to witness emerging from the ocean foam, the one to hold the vision for the jaded and forlorn. Although they're mortal still and worldly wary, man and woman, tiring adversaries, faintly hear the mythical sigh when Venus is reborn. Hypnotizing is her luminescence. Ancient wisdom rings her pink pubescence. Only a goddess can deliver erotic love unto the earth. Divine desire, with its pure intentions, serves to banish vanity's illusions. Neither jealous nor possessors. Beauty begets its own rebirth. What joy! The vestal maid stirs and arouses. The goddess in each woman is brought out. And godmen join the temple dance when Venus is reborn. Together we celebrate the golden age's love.
Thank you very much. Yes, a reminder of the power of the feminine right now. Mm-hmm. The feminine in all of us. Thank you, that's beautiful. And thank you, Miss Sam and Josie, for sharing all that knowledge with us too. So, welcome to this wonderful celebration, the celebration of global and galactic oneness. It's a time of communication, not only among all of us light beings here, but also between us and interdimensional and extra-dimensional beings. This is something that will take a major step forward now, as our contacts that we have been having and we're well aware of will become part of the common knowledge of everyone living on the planet. This is, as I said, the birth of the higher consciousness, and it's happening right now, and you can really feel the energy. I was shown the most beautiful picture that someone took from here of Venus, and around Venus was this beautiful orb. And we have it upstairs. Jean-Luc put the orb in the computer and just highlighted or brought it out. Just, what do you call that, Jean-Luc? Made it clearer. And this beautiful orb around Venus is stunning right now. So the elders have said that, the star elders, I wanted to share. They said the Venus-Sun Passover will trigger a huge soul desire to obtain deeper knowledge, to find better answers to problems, and build common ground between different cultures. So that's part of the increase in communication. The Star Elders say this wisdom will be released during the retrograde from May 18th through June 29th, but especially on June 7th to 8th. So yes, we are beginning here, and many of our friends on the mainland and in Europe and in other countries all around the world will be meditating with us, and it's already the 8th where they are. So I wanted to mention a couple of things that ring the bell. Some of us have been meeting here, and some of what we've been studying and learning about in our gatherings here, just called the X-Files, information we were sharing about, number one was about the power of this location at 19.5 degrees north, a place of energy upwelling that's not only on planet Earth, but on all the planets in our solar system, it would seem, where there are great energy upwellings that not only interact with everything, in this case on planet Earth, coming from the volcano here, but all different formations on all different planets in our solar system. So I'll kind of pass this around. This was from the U.S. Census Bureau, and it just shows Kealakekua location 19.5 degrees north. And some of you are aware of that since it has come out with the information popularized by Richard Holden. So we are on an acupuncture point here that's very powerful, and we have this responsibility in a way to share our love with all of planet Earth and then send it out from here to all of the other power points on the other planets. Another thing we talked about was the power of the pyramids. The pyramids have been disturbed in some ways. Their structures have not been activated. Many of us have been going to different locations to activate the sacred sites and activate the pyramids. These pyramids create a grid, a matrix of energy between all of the planets in our solar system in particular. And so we are here to activate them, to interact with them, the ones that are beneath the ocean, the ones that are on the land, the ones we know about, and the ones we don't know about right now. And so that's another part of our gathering tonight. And then, of course, the power of consciousness. As we know, that is the greatest power of all. And the dolphins have been teaching us that for many, many years. That as we come together as a pod or as a group, we have the power to create all the love and the beauty and the harmony that we want in our lives and from our own lives and our own hearts out into the world. And so that's what we're here to do, to use that power of love to really assist the earth and all of humanity. So tonight we'll travel to Venus and travel there by the light of the sun. For myself, back in the 1970s, the first contact I had with beings of light were those from Venus. And it was a channeling I received when I was at Mount Shasta. And the Venusians were very aware of our connections. So many of us that have that Venus connection, the connection to Lemuria, connection to dolphins and whales, connection to the Pacific Ocean. And we will be in contact with them again tonight. So tonight we'll ask all our relatives to be with us, the Ascended Masters, our ET friends, the angels, to join their light with ours for the benefit of Gaia. And especially remembering Athena and the Marys, Kuan Yin, and all of your particular guides and beings of light. I was shown just today that there's a website that shows the changes that have been happening to every planet in our solar system of late. And I looked at Venus, and this was from NASA, and it says Venus has an increase in auroral brightness of 2,500%. So it is shining very brightly right now. And then also from my friend Irena van Leepy from the Netherlands. This is the princess of the Netherlands. I am aware of your gathering and that you will be sending exquisite love throughout the earth. We will be with you as we hold hands here and you hold hands there. I will give a lecture talk that day to an audience that work with people dying. Big hug, Irena, who are connected with us too. Okay, I think that's everything. And remember, whenever we talk about peace, world peace, it is the peace in our own hearts that we're talking about. Because as we can be peaceful, then the world moves into peace. And again, we'll be visualizing and experiencing everything in the now and in the present with feelings of compassion and love. As Greg Braden has always pointed out, and as we do in these groups here, by visualizing a desired event and fully immersing oneself in positive emotions of the event, as though it had occurred, a powerful energetic impulse is created that manifests the desired event in the concrete physical realm. So the emotions of celebration, joy, love, and gratitude act as powerful engines for thought creation. Just a little reminder. Okay. so you will know our Mayan connection. When you came in and smudged yourself, that was Mayan herbs, Mayan cobalt, the rosin, and the bark of the tree that came directly from the Yucatan. And so it's here for us to use tonight. So make yourself comfortable. And please close your eyes. Just feel yourself merging with the music.
Here's a piece I'd like to read to you from a man by the name of Daniel Jacobs, who has been a personal trainer and in the muscular rehabilitation and stress management business for some number of years. And it's a piece that he wrote on the internet. It's quite a large piece called Heart and Soul Resonance. I want to take just a small section of that, and if you at all hear about Daniel Jacobs or would like to see the entire piece, please contact me at broadcast@dolphinville.com, and I'll be happy to forward that email to you on Heart and Soul Resonance. This is the last section of the essay in which he's talking about letting go of some of the things that we have taken on in our lifetime. And it relates to the Venus transit, so I thought it was appropriate to read it and something to contemplate as we transcend into this new atmosphere provided by this doorway of opportunity. The piece starts with the title, Gentle, Flowing, Comfortable. I spent 20 years doing muscular rehabilitation and stress management. I've had seen some of the carnage of the adage no pain, no gain has wrought, and I've seen also the success that striving for excellence can bring, success in quotation marks. How do you define success? Is it the quality of life or quality or quantity of life? Is it power or peace? Though I fully realize that there doesn't have to be an either or in these options, let's pretend that there does. Human stress is caused by one of two things. Either we force ourselves to do something we don't want to do, or we keep ourselves from doing something that we want to do. With either mindset, the forcing or the restraint, comes a mandate for growth that feels unnatural. It's contrived and feigned. But remember, we have generations of this type of stress motivation standing behind us, pushing us onward. This personal programming goes right down to the DNA. If we're able to push through our stress and accomplish something, despite the creaking and groaning of our heart, a pride pattern gets installed. We know it's there by noticing the attitude we have when seeing another person fail at something we have forced ourselves to do. If you can't quite live up to your shoulds and oughts, then a feeling of shame or discouragement is the result. The Reconnections, which is a group of channel entities, call this autism. Those who do want what they truly love in any moment are too busy enjoying life to feel proud or anxious. Their only focus is living. As our planet speeds towards and forward, moving from 3D living to fourth dimension and beyond, it becomes a huge movie screen onto which images are being cast. Now the sun, symbolizing conscious awareness, is the light that flows through as the projector. The planets, or celestial bodies, that come between us and the sun are like colored filters, then, through which life is altered and refocused. Each celestial body, then, has its own essence and flavor that brings itself to the screen, being Earth plane. Venus is about love, letting go, accepting, and embracing what is before us. Non-resistance. As our planetary pitch of energy increases, we will have less and less strength to maintain facades or pretense. Little by little, effort and willpower will give way to a gentler, more authentic energy. Each phase of our awakening will be precious, and every day along the way, we are doing the best we can. There's no holding back now, no cheating life of the rest of who we really are. There never was. There was no age of accountability in a person's life when the universe begins to keep score. As children, we instinctively knew right from the beginning. As adults, we know no more than we did then. We simply labor under the weight of our collective definitions. That's it. All of this separationist implants, the criticisms, ideals, and crusades, all of the thorns and internal prodding and poking are simply mental constructs, guardian spirits, if you will, designed to hold us in a place of limitation and weakness for a time. As the Master Yoda said to his Jedi apprentice, either do or do not. There is no try. And really, there is no holding back either. It was an illusion. Knowledge is everywhere, power is everywhere, and we are all of it, each one of us. This is so because we are everything. But here, in this place, in this dimension of being, feeling, knowing, touching, we have chosen to be simply be something. That expression changes from moment to moment, and then it lasts for just a moment. While it lasts, it seems that this is all we are. That is the gift of physical life, and it's a tremendous gift. We are snapshots of a physical experience and sacred circumstance. Enjoy it. Relish the idea. And embrace fully who you perceive yourself to be. Whoever you are, right this moment, you're beautiful. You make the oneness complete. If you could do more, you would do more. But here, in 3D, in this moment, this is what you have chosen to portray. Whatever you're doing, however you're doing it, you're doing the best you can. You always have, and you always will. And it is enough. So, that's just a reminder to you to lighten up. Drink the wellspring of information coming in. This is Dolphinus. Thank you for being with me and listening once again. I'll be back with you in the future with more of this type of information to caress your spirits and to open up to everything and all that is. Thanks for joining me. I'll look for you next time. See ya.